Well, I don't know about you, but there is an absolute wonderful presence of the Lord in this place. And there's no greater joy and there's no greater delight than to stop and worship and sense the presence of God. Know that he's here. He's promised, as Ace said at the very beginning, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in their midst. And so I'm not talking to you about feelings. It's wonderful. We'll talk a little bit about that today. It's wonderful when you do sense his presence. It's wonderful when you have that electricity, as it were, in the air, or maybe your hands get hot, or maybe you shake a little bit, or maybe this happens or that happens, and you're aware of his presence. That's great. But even when you're not, even when you don't have any of that, the Bible makes it so very, very clear that he is so with us. He is so here. And that's awesome. It's awesome. It's awesome to just get caught up, as it were, where our minds turn away from the natural things and we open our eyes to see in the Spirit what God is saying. Thank you. Thank you for the prayer as we opened. And that's awesome. Genesis chapter 1, I just want to read two scriptures as we start out this morning. Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. It says, it's going to sound a little different. It's not where you might think you would normally start a message, but we're going somewhere. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night. They will serve as signs for appointed times and for days and years." And then in Genesis 8:22, it says, "While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease." I want to talk to you a little bit today about the seasons of the Lord and a mature spiritual plan for growth. Having a spiritual plan for growth in your life causes us to come to an understanding that we go through seasons. God is a season maker. We grow through seasons. And there are times and seasons in our life, they're all different. And sometimes we are in the midst of a season and would like to get out of that season so I can get over to this season. Because right now, this season isn't all that it's all cracked up to be. I am not enjoying this season. This season, Lord, what in the world are you doing and why will it not come to an end? Don't know if you've ever been there. But some of us recognize the reality of this. And it's interesting because the Bible tells us right from the beginning, there's day and there's night. So the Bible speaks about principles, first the natural, then the spiritual. So we look at natural seasons and we're to learn something about a natural season because that natural season tells us also about our spiritual season. So in other words, there are day seasons that are filled with light. They're nice and bright. They're nice and warm. Nothing could be better. Wow, this is great. Wow, this is awesome. God, you're so real. God, you're so present. Look at this miracle. Look at that miracle. This is amazing. And then there's a night season. Where when you're in the midst of the night season, you wonder, does day exist? Is there anything really called day? Because all I see right now is night. And in the darkness of night, and when you're in the midst of the darkness of night, it's cold, as it were. You might even say it's like the fog right now that's out there. It's hard to make decisions. It's hard to make choices. Do I go right? Do I go left? I don't understand what's going on. God, you're the light of my life. Your word is a light into my path, and I'm following it as best I can, but I find it very difficult even to take a next step. And when you've been used to the day, and the day's gone on for a very long time, you do believe somewhere in your psyche, somewhere in your subconscious, that the only way Christianity is real is if you're living in the day. And if I'm in the night, therefore I must have done something wrong. I must have sinned somehow. Has God turned his back on me? Is the enemy stronger than I thought he was? And not recognize that you're in process. He told you right in Genesis chapter 1. In the first book, he told you there's day and there's night. There are seasons. There's up and there's down. He gets more specific. There's seed time and there's harvest. And you can't get a harvest if you don't plant seed. So in the natural, in the city, kind of a mix of the natural and the spiritual, if we don't share the gospel, you can't expect a harvest of souls. If you don't plant the seed in the lives of people, how are they ever going to come in and respond to Christ? Right? You plant seed. If you want a blessing financially and you never give, you're doing it wrong. It ain't going to happen. It's seed, whether you like it or not. It's seed. It's the attitude of giving. It's the attitude. I trust you. I love you. I will plant seed in whatever way you call me to do it. I will plant seed. I cannot get a harvest. We can start out with joy, but I don't want to stay with the same joy. I want a greater joy. So if I want a greater joy, I sacrifice. Even in the midst of times where joy just seems like, how can I have joy right now? I'm not talking about happiness. How can I have joy in the midst of sorrow? And yet that is a part of how we grow in God. That is a part of recognizing. There's winter seasons. Winter season, I don't like winter. I'm sorry, I'm not a winter person. I don't mind the storms. I like the storms, but that's about it. Because winter speaks of death. And let's be honest, nobody likes to talk about death. And a winter season in your life, in any area of your life, can cause just like, oh my, what in the world? Because not only does the ground hard and it won't receive seed, it gets snow on top of it. And it's like it's pointless to sow seed, it seems, in that season, in the natural. It seems pointless. Because there's this layer of snow. All the leaves have gone. I'm in a desperate, we sang, I'm desperate, Lord. I need you, God. And though many of those songs and many of those hymns in our life come out of winter seasons. Many times in the midst of a winter season, not many times, most of the time, or the plan of God, even in the midst of a winter season, is that he's taking you deeper. He's taking you deeper. He's not allowing you to stay where you were. He's taking you to a place of knowledge in him that you could never get there if you didn't go through that winter. If you only had summer, you wouldn't know the fullness of who God is, and it would also limit your ministry and your ability to minister to others when they are going through their winter season and their dark time. Here's the promise of God in Acts 3:18 and 19. Absolutely love this. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets that the Christ would suffer, he has fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Times of refreshing. Times. Not continual, not constant, not never ending. Oh, that would be nice. That's called heaven. But times of refreshing are promised. Times of refreshing are promised to come sweeping in. Because, listen, a price has been paid. Here's the glorious, wonderful reality of who we are, because we are saved, is that we recognize that Jesus Christ, when he came and he died and he shed his blood for us and then he went up into the heavenly tabernacle, and he took his blood and he presented it before the Father, and the Father accepted and received it, that we now are born again. Hallelujah. We are now saved. We are now redeemed. We are now sons and daughters. So that has brought us into a relationship. It's also brought us into a place of recognizing that the promises are for me. Right? They're for the whole world who will believe, but they are specifically designed for me and my life. And so I can come before God with an absolute assurance and confidence based on his word that he will do what he has promised he would do. He will fulfill what he has spoken. Whether it's a word from the Lord from the scripture, whether it's a word from the Lord within your own spirit and heart, whether it's a word given through a prophetic ministry, you can have the absolute confidence and the absolute assurance that he's going to do what he said he will do. God is a God of revival. God is a God of restoration. God is a God of resurrection. Everybody loves springtime. The snow melts away. It all disappears. It's dirty and mucky and ugly for a while, let's be honest, right? You know, the snow melts and all the dirt that was in the different layers of snow end up on the road or end up on your grass, you know, and it's just like, this is ugly. This is a mess. I don't, you know, let's get rid of this, you know. And then thankfully the rains come, right? Thank God for the rain. Somebody say amen. Thank God for the rain. The rain comes. The rain comes and begins to wash all that away. It gets out of the system, out of the streets, you know, down the sewer. And you know, then the sun is coming up brighter and warmer. And then one day you look at your grass and it's matted and it's dark and it's ugly. And then you look at it and it's green. It's green and it's come to life. And you look at the trees and it's blooming. And you say, you know what, God, that's your promise for my life. That's your promise for my life. You've done it in different areas, but now you're doing it in a deeper area. Now you're after me. Let's talk about joy for a minute, because when I was preparing this, I just felt the Lord just give me this burden, as it were, concerning his joy. Let me just read a couple scriptures here. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. Amen? Let the saints be joyful in glory. Promise, prophetic promise about the house of the Lord. It shall blossom, springtime, abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So listen, the enemy comes. If there's one thing he comes to steal from you, it's your joy. He wants to rob you of your joy. What robs us of joy? Worry, fear, anxiety, right? Lack of trust in God. And when we come into the season of testing, when we come into the season of maturity where God is taking us to a deeper level and everything that we were expecting from God isn't happening, what it comes under attack is our joy. Because we worry and we're anxious. I don't know about you, maybe you're not. So I'll say, I'm anxious and I get worried and I get fretful. And I'm like, what are you doing? And where did you go? But the word of the Lord has stayed the same. Yes. The word of the Lord did not change. The circumstance changed, but the word didn't change. The promise didn't change. He didn't say, I changed my mind. I'm no longer going to do what I said. So don't expect it. Don't believe it. Don't anticipate it. It's not what he said. He said, I'm going to do it. I didn't tell you when I was going to do it, but I said I would do it. And then it's not happening. And then the bills get bigger. And you may lose a job. You may enter into a sickness. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? Lose relationships. Get rejected. Get misunderstood. All manner of things happen. Because it's called L-I-F-E. And Christianity doesn't immune you from life. It doesn't immune you from it. You're going to go through it. But now, this weapon that you and I have, this weapon, this mighty weapon that we have called joy, this mighty weapon that we have called joy is the thing that the enemy knows. If I can put a depressed look on your face, if I can put a sadness in your soul, if I can put a sadness in your spirit, then you can't believe me for whatever the big promise is. You can't even believe me for the little promises. And then how much more difficult is it for you to share your faith and say, come serve my wonderful Jesus, when you don't feel so wonderful about Jesus at the moment? I don't feel so wonderful about you, Jesus. I know you is, but right now you don't feel a bit like it to me. It's a challenge. But he's deepening you, and he's causing you to turn your eyes fully on to him and his character. Who he is. Not just what he does, but who he is. And when you can, when I can grasp, fully, truly grasp, I can't lie. God speaking. I am faithful. Character. I've done it in the past. You may be seeing me do it in others. I will do it for you. I will do it for you. And the clock is ticking. It's ticking. It's ticking. It's ticking. It's ticking. And your heart's like, when? 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 I will do it. I will do it. I will do it. It's in those times. It's in the transition time from mountaintop to mountaintop. Or it's in the transition time from day to day when we go through the night. It's in the transition time when we go from, you know, the summer to the winter in our spiritual life, in our circumstances, that we are challenged to make right decisions. It's in those times that we create Ishmaels. Ishmaels are created in those times. For if Isaac had have been born within 2 or 3 years, there would have been no need for Hagar. Because I have my Isaac. Got my Isaac. I don't want no Hagar. I don't need you, Hagar. Me and Sarah, we got it on. We got it. It's done. Here's Isaac. But it was in that time, it was in that season when 12, 13 years had passed, and Abraham and Sarah are saying, he said it, we both heard it, we know it's true, but it hasn't come. Maybe we should do something about it. Maybe we should make something happen. And then Hagar came up with Sarah came up with a brilliant idea. Why don't you sleep with my handmaid? Really? It's in those times when Uzzah dies because he tries to steady the ark. Because you try to do the will of God man's way instead of God's way. The word had made it clear to David, the priests carry the ark, not ox. the priests do. But David did what the Philistines did. They put it on a cart. So David put it on a cart. And then when it shook, Uzzah put out his hand and God killed him. It's in that time, it's in those seasons. You might be wanting to do the right thing. You may have the spiritual direction to do the right thing, but you got to go deeper to do God's will God's way and not God's will man's way. Because there's a lot of places that are doing God's will man's way, and you'll never get the blessing of God. You'll get death, but you will not get the blessing, and you will not get the release, and you will not get the anointing. It has to be done God's way. We end up in the wilderness. We end up in a wilderness because he said, do it now, obey now, go now. And we go, oh, yeah, but no, that doesn't work for me. Maybe next year, maybe 2 years from now, maybe 5 years from now. And God says, okay, you won't obey now, you can't get blessed now. There's a wilderness journey. And it happens. New Testament, it happens. We experience it. It can be in small ways and it can be in large ways. But God can't change his principles. He can't change his ways to do it differently. He can't bless disobedience. How many would you bless your child if he was disobedient? I will not bless my children in disobedience. I will spank my child in disobedience. I will hurt that behind in disobedience. Why? Because I'm teaching life, right? I'm teaching grace, teaching truth to their heart. You cannot microwave maturity, and you cannot microwave patience, and you cannot microwave true spiritual growth. It's absolutely impossible. You can't go through one test and say, I'm mature. I'm fully grown. I understand it all. I have complete Christ-like character. But we live in our microwave generation, and this has been used in numerous principles spiritually. We like things quickly. It is human nature. That's why we have drive-thrus, because I don't want to go home and cook, right? I don't want to go home and take it out of the freezer and use the microwave appropriately for a couple of seconds and then put it in the oven and cook it properly where all the juices mix and everything comes together. And it you know what I'm talking about, right? There's a big difference between a microwave meal and a cooked meal in the oven or on the top. Come on. There's a big, big, big difference. You know what I'm talking about, okay? There's a big difference between the two. But we come in the society, the faster it goes, and the faster technology comes, we have this approach to God that he's God, so he can just snap his finger. He could. But it would be to your detriment. Because at that different level, there's different devils. And for you to deal with those different devils on that different level, you have to go through the valley. Because actually, in seed form, you deal with them there, so you're ready for them there. So we have to recognize that every season that the Lord takes us through, every season that he has put us into, he has done it for our good. It's for our good. And that takes trust on our part. Sometimes we ended up there because we made a choice that seemed at the time as the right choice, and now we look back and say, why did I ever choose that? But believe it or not, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Maybe you got there for some wrong reason of your doing. Maybe you even sinned your way into something. And you just blame that sin. If I had never done that. No, that season is going on still, it's not because of that, because he already forgave you. He already cleansed you. He has no memory of it anymore. Can I get an amen out there? You don't remember it no more. That's not why you're where you are. You are where you are because the Spirit of God says, I am digging you deeper. I am after your heart. I'm after your mind. I'm after you grasping what I'm doing in you to perfect you so that you can be everything I, God, intended you to be. So, you know, hitch your wagon, as it were, to my heart, God says, and know that I will not fail to bless you and deepen you and bring about more good in you than you could have ever imagined or ever had you not gone through it. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herds in the stall, yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. That's maturity. Everything is the opposite of what it's supposed to be. Everything. It's not the way it should be. It's not what you told me. It's not what you promised me. Yet, I know my position in you. I don't understand, and that's, you know, the human condition. I want to understand. I want to understand. God says, leave it with me. I understand. I'm in charge. I know what I'm doing. Here's what I need from you. I need trust. I need praise. I need joy. When you do that, you defeat hell in every aspect of your life. When you do that, when you say, what I heard this morning, okay? We don't understand. It's not just an exercise. Okay, so it's a Christian exercise. Oh, I come into church and worship. Because the reality is, the greater your worship is at home, the greater your worship will be here. If you're not doing it there, when you come in here, it will always be limited. The more people worship at home, the more you have a quiet time at home, the more you fill your house with praise there, and you're living your life in worship, then when you come in here, it becomes magnified. Okay, it becomes magnified because it's for everybody, right? We're all together, and the Lord says they're doing it. They're doing it Monday to Saturday and Sunday. Monday to Saturday and Sunday. Monday to Saturday, and they're doing it every day. Oh, wow, I'm coming in. I'm coming in. I'm coming in. I'm coming in. And so that's where we come to this place of recognizing this truth that I just don't praise Him when I get what I want. I just don't worship Him or thank Him when I have everything that I had an expectation for. Because as I said earlier, His character has not changed. Your circumstance has, your situation has, but He hasn't. And so my praise to Him is because of who He is. He's King of the universe. He's God of the whole earth. He's a Redeemer. He's a sanctifier. He's perfect in all His ways. He's faithful. He's glorious. He's honorable. I worship Him for those things, not just for what I get. Here's the promise. But He knows the way that I take. When He has tested me, I will come forth as gold. When He has tested me. Oh, I didn't sign up for testing. I just signed up for salvation. I didn't sign up for testing. I did not sign up for testing. I signed up for salvation. But God made you a child. And just like our three children are mirror images of us, God says, I want my children to be a mirror image of me. So when he made us in Genesis, in my image and in my likeness I created you, and sin came in to distort that, and salvation comes in to right that, so that now you can be on full display of who God is. Come on, that's right. And so God is at work to put you on full display. Wherever you are on display for him. And so he's working in you and in your nature. I look at Job. Listen, it boggles my mind when I look at Job. Because he went through winter. He went through winter. But in the midst of the winter, in the midst of the right speech, and in the midst of the wrong speech, in the midst of the wrong counsel, and in the midst of the right counsel, as Job is going through this horrendous, horrendous season of his life, in the midst of it, he has this prophetic awareness and this prophetic revelation in his spirit as he's musing on God, and he recognizes, you know what? And you know, this is the oldest book in the Bible. Job is before Abraham. Okay, Job is before Moses, who wrote the Pentateuch. So Job lived before all this. And in the midst of that, he says, I'm being tested. He knows me. He sees me. He knows everything about me. And then he says, he's testing me. And if anybody knows anything about gold, you got to put it in fire. To get the impurities out. The more impurities out, the higher the temperature. So the purifying fire of the Holy Ghost that I want and we need is to purify us, but we need to understand we're coming forth as gold. Now, some of you may not be aware, the Bible says that there's transparent gold in heaven. Right? See yourself in it. It's transparent. There's no impurities in it. But that's the church. That bride that's coming down that has streets of gold, this is symbolic. It's you and me. Gold in the Bible speaks of character. The Ark of the Covenant, which was a picture of Jesus Christ, the wood, his humanity, the gold, his divinity. Okay? These are pictures. You and I are gold. And God's purifying that gold. He's turning up the temperature. It's not easy, but he's turning it up so that when people look at you, the highest thing anyone could ever say about us as the church is, you remind me of Jesus. You look like Jesus. You are doing what Jesus would do. That's what I want my life to be. I want my life to be an image of, I want to do what Jesus would do. I want to be mistaken for him, as it were. They teased me in high school, Black Jesus. They made fun of me then. I'll take it. Thank you. I want to be an image of him, a representative for him, so that people in my presence say, there's something different about you. Not for my glory, come on. Not for attention, not for anything of that nature, that he might be glorified. That he might be glorified. The promise of God, listen, in the oldest book of the Bible, the promise of God, the prophetic testimony of Job is, you are coming forth as gold. God is perfecting you. He is cleaning you up. He is taking out the impurities. He's taking out the misunderstandings. He's taking out the wrong concepts. He's giving you a fresh vision and a fresh revelation of who he is so that you can be effective for him. In the midst of all of the challenges, keep doing what you know to do. Don't stop praying. Don't stop sharing your faith. Don't stop coming to church. Don't stop giving. Amen? Don't remove the boundary marks that have been placed in your life. Don't remove what God has already established, because he's getting ready to add to it. But he's testing you to see, oh, I'm going to give up this now because it's not going the way I thought it would. I'm going to stop doing this now because, you know, you didn't answer my prayer when I thought you would answer it. And people fail in these very areas. They stop doing what God already established in their life. That's not going to move you forward. That's going to move you backward. Keep honoring leadership. Keep praying. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. Keep believing. Keep in that position where God placed you. Keep serving. God's watching. God's looking. God's examining. You know, the Bible says in Revelation, it says that there's a cup of worship that's in heaven. And that when we worship and we pray and we intercede, we're filling up a cup. Right? We talk about the cups of judgment. Oh, there's the cups of blessing. There's cups of anointing. There's cups of harvest. And when we pray and we intercede and we seek God, I can't tell you, when you take that daily time and go into your prayer closet in whatever manner that is, and you shut that door, the promise of God, the Father says, what God sees in secret, he will bless in the open. But we're failing to go into the secret place. That secret place. That time with God, that is where we are developed. That is where he ministers to the very depth and the core of our spirit. And this is the last point I got for you here. When you don't see anything of some of the promises of God that he's given to you, coming into that place of prayer and intercession and saying, I will not let my circumstance dictate my spiritual declaration. I will not allow the natural to limit my spirit. It is not based on the natural that I believe God. It's based on his word that I believe him. And so in that place, be a declarer of his character. Be a declarer of his promises. Declare and expect the miracle is coming. The promise is coming. The grace is coming. The breakthrough is coming. I remember a season not too long ago where I was praying and asking God for something specifically. And every time I went to pray about it, he was like, no, stop. And it was just like, thank me. And I was like, God, this is you. Thank me. It was just, no matter what I came up with, to do, to create this blessing that I needed, all he would allow me to do was to thank him in advance. It was don't ask, wasn't even ask. And you know, there's many scriptures about asking God, right? Many scriptures about asking God. But he knows before we ask, right? And he knew what I was in need of, and it was don't ask, just thank me. Just thank me that I'm doing it, and that I'm going to do it, and that it's going to come. Thank me in advance. And then I would come in with, I want to work for it. The man thing. I want to work for it. I just don't want it to be given to me. Let me work for it. Let me go over here, and let me go over there. Let me do this, and let me do that. And he was like, no. He shut every door. Everything I knocked on, it was shut. Just thank me. Just thank me. And what that does is it puts the onus absolutely and completely on him. Right? It takes every opportunity for you to get glory, honor. Wow, you must have really believed God. Oh, you must be grateful. Oh, this. Nothing about you, all about him. It's just like, you do it. You promised it. I trust you. You're in charge. I thank you in advance. And for weeks, just giving thanks. Just giving thanks. Coming in and worshiping. And then just giving thanks. You're going to do it. You're going to make it happen. You promised. I'm trusting you. And it was freeing, because you know what? It never robbed me of my joy coming back to the natural. Because when you wrestle with God, sometimes you're doing it in unbelief, trying to convince him, trying to make, oh, God. And you don't feel nothing, and you're like, you're just, oh, God. And you come out worse than when you went in. And my wife said amen. Trust me, she's saying amen. Because I'm guilty. I'm guilty. Thank you. I'm guilty. But when we come to that place where we can just thank you, I trust you, I believe you, you're faithful, you're going to do it, you can't lie, you've done it for friends, you're doing it for friends, you did it for this one, you did it for that one, you'll do it for me. You'll do it for me. So I'm in process, I'm going to come forth as gold. You can look at yourself and you can see the change, because even that in and of itself is a change, because left to yourself, that's not how you'd pray. Left to yourself, that's not what you would do. And so even that is a victory. That in itself is a victory, because it's now when the next dark season comes, the next day turns into night, the next summer turns into winter, you can say, I got this. I know what you're up to. I see your hand. I'm getting. I'm learning how you work. And that's what Moses says. Israel saw his acts, but Moses knew his ways. Stand with me. Hallelujah. I honestly feel in my spirit that there are some people here who honestly are believing God for a season change. That you're saying, God, I've been in this season, and it's been interesting. But I'm ready, and I believe, not just want, but believe in my spirit that there's a season change in the spirit, and the night is turning to day, and the winter's turning to spring. And if that's you, I just want you to come stand here. Just come stand up here, and I just want to take a minute and pray for you, that God just cements that for you in your life, and that you would just walk away. Come on all the way up. Just stand up here. I'm not going to pray for long. Do you want to put on a song? Yeah, thanks. And we'll just take a minute. You can sit, those there, and just be in a mindful, prayerful mind. If you want to just stretch out your hands to these people, and we're just going to believe God to bring about this dynamic change in their life. Father, we come right now in your precious name. We thank you for your daughter, Lord. We thank you for your grace upon her life, Lord. We thank you for her grace upon her life, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the rich grace that has been poured out and that is being poured out, Lord. A grace, Lord, to overcome, and a grace to be victorious, and a grace to minister, Lord, your truth, Lord. Lord, we just see an anointing of your spirit on this life, and we pray right now for a turning of the tables, Lord, a turning of the tables that only you can do, a supernatural turning. I just feel that there's been negative things spoken over you. There's negative things spoken to your life, hurtful things spoken to you, hurtful things that have wounded you deeply, lies, literally lies that have been over your heart and over your mind. And those lies are going to be broken, and they're going to come into the fullness of light.